das durch dich lebt und deine Freude ist.
Lord, we want to be that people that minister and refresh you, meet your need and wash your feet, that satisfy your heart's desire and be a friend to you.
Ja, danke, Herr Jesus Christus, dass du uns berufen und erwählt hast.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You've called us and chosen us to see you and your plan. Thank you, Lord, for this time of the conference where you've spoken to us so richly, Lord, and we thank you that you want to talk to us more and show us more. We ask you to write onto our hearts, and we ask you to be this people that minister and refresh you, that meet your need and wash your feet, and that satisfy your heart's desire. And in German it says, people that just only loves you. So, you want to be this people.
Ja, liebe Geschwister, wir gehen weiter in dem Wort.
Dear brothers and sisters, we go further in the word of the conference.
So.
I had to change quickly something.
Und wir sind
and we are at the point 6 that Christ wants to build the church and wants the church to be his likeness. Yeah, and I think we already saw that everything the Lord is speaking is connected here. It's not that it's on one point always about sanctification or salvation or the church, but it's all connected. It is really about one plan, one purpose, and it's this eternal purpose the Lord planned in Christ Jesus. And this is also something we can see in Ephesians 3. And there we already read in the last days, Ephesians 3, verse 10 and 11, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Yeah, and this is also a burden I have this morning to show this will of God can be seen in some places. There might be a verse and somewhere else is a verse. But the whole Bible, the complete scriptures show us his will. And we can see that, yeah, this is just one plan we can see in this word. And I want to show you this and bring this out a little, that the church is the will of God. I think many of us know this verse in Matthew 16, verse 18, where Jesus tells Peter, I want to build my church. But it's not just this verse. It is much more. It's the whole scripture. That the Lord wants to reveal us his plan. And I want to go further into that, and that's why I will start at the very beginning of the Bible, already in the creation. The Lord shows, God shows what he wants to do with his people, with his with man. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we can see that God created man in his image, in his own image. And this is something which is very deeply in the heart of God. And he wants man to be in his image. He needs man, or he wants man to have fellowship with him. And yeah, He wants, yeah, this being which he can have fellowship with. And this will he wants to show further and explain further in the second chapter of Genesis. There it is more in detail about the creation of the woman. Yeah, how God created the wife for Adam. And this story is very important because, yeah, it shows what God's plan today with people is. And Adam is this picture, this image of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And also, yeah, God the Father has this heart to bring this bride forth for his son, Jesus. Yeah, and how this is happening is very remarkable. We can see that Adam is sleeping, and yeah, and it is written there, she was, Eve was not only created, but she was built from Adam, from the rib of Adam. Yeah, and this is Christ who's, yeah, who died and was resurrected. And from this resurrection life, God wants to build this church, this, image, this counterpart for Christ.
And
I read Ephesians 5:31
and 32.
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Yeah,
this mystery speaks concerning Christ and the church. It's also a great mystery. And many people who read the Bible and study the Bible cannot see this, cannot see that this is in the heart of God. But I'm very thankful to the Lord that He reveals this. He reveals this to His saints who search Him and love Him. And if we ask Him, then He will also show this to us, yeah, that He wants this church as His counterpart. And yesterday we also read verses in Ephesians 5, because it's, in the verses before it is coming very clear that the church needs to get sanctified. In verse 27, he says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle. Yeah, so this time we have today is so we can be sanctified. This time now is essential for our sanctification. And I also want to mention a chapter in John 17, verse 17. The Lord says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is the truth. If we want to, resemble, if we want to be this counterpart, then we need the sanctification through His word. He has given us His word. And I hope this time of the conference is an encouragement for us. And I say that especially to the young people. Yeah, let yourself be sanctified through the word, through this cleansing bath in His word. We might think, oh, I already know, and I've heard so many things, and I know these verses. It's not about knowing. It is that it is, yeah, put into our heart, and we nourish us from this word every day. And this is a cleansing we need every day, and a sanctification which is so essential that the Lord can get what he wants, which is a church, yeah, which has no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Yeah, this is Ephesians 5, verse 27. This is in his heart. And I'm impressed that this desire of God, this heart's desire is already present in the first two chapters of the Bible. Yeah, these verses already make the plan and God's desire very clear right in the beginning. We do not have to doubt this. It is the will of God and plan with us men, with us as people. Yeah, but why is it so hard then for God to fulfill his plan, to come, yeah, to the goal with his plan? And we can see right when God shows his plan, we also can see the enemy, how he attacks, and attacks the element which is so important to God. Yeah, God wants us to have his being and be of his substance, but the enemy brings his own nature into man, into us, right in the beginning. Yeah, and this really turned man and made him unusable for God. And this is something which is present till today. Today we are not able to present God, to fulfill the plan of God. Oh Lord, and nevertheless, it is the wisdom of God that he has not stopped his plan with us, but that he searched and found a path how he can bring man back into his plan. And basically this is how the whole, this is the message of the whole Bible.
Wenn ich kurz ein bisschen weiter schaue,
if I can quickly look a little further, after man had taken in the nature of Satan, then it did not take long for effect. And we can look into chapter 6 of Genesis. We can see that man had turned into such a wicked state that God had no other plan but to remove people from the earth. Chapter 9, Genesis 9, verse 11 and 12. So God, the earth was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh was corrupted their way on the earth. Yeah, it is very sad. Yeah, God saved Noah and his family, and was able to go further. And I cannot mention everything, of course, so I will now jump a little. The Lord brought his plan a long jump forward with his people that he chose, the people of Israel, to bring his plan further. And this people, he has a very similar problem. They were all grew up in Egypt, and they did not know God. It was the God of their fathers, but they had no knowledge of him, and they did not know his will. But they had to know him more. And we can see this in Exodus and Leviticus, right after God led out his people from Egypt, and they sanctified themselves in the desert. And then he showed them how he is. And he showed them many things, and showed them that he is a holy God, and they should also be holy. And he's different from what they got to know in Egypt. And this being of Egypt is an image of the world. And this is something, what the Lord wants to do with us today, as his heavenly people. We first of all got to know the Lord, how he is, and what his being is. And this is what he is working on today. And because of that, we see in Scripture, God has given his people a testimony, which gives testimony of what how he is. And I want to switch cameras for that, because I have a small presentation prepared. I think you should be able to see it now. So in the German live stream, we can see a PowerPoint presentation now about the testimony of God. And it's not very long, it's just one page, but I want to make it more clear how this testimony is in the Old Testament, and how we can take it into the new in first in Genesis 31:18, there are these tablets of the testimony. These were the Ten Commandments, where God showed man, this is how I am, this is my being. And these tablets of testimony are in the Ark of testimony. And in Genesis 40 verse 3, these verses are also on the outline. It shows it is the Ark of testimony, and this also was a testimony of the presence of God among his people. And this Ark is, there was built a house for the Ark, and it is in Numeri 1 verse 50, it is written about it, the Tabernacle of Testimony. So this was the place in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, where God was, and it's mentioned often to be the place of communion with God, where he would talk with his people. And yeah, we saw that man was so corrupted, and we already saw that God is really, yeah, he really hates sin. Yeah, and the old man, the corrupted man, cannot come into relationship with God. It is impossible for them. When Moses went onto the mountain, the mountain started, there were thunder and lightning, and yeah, the people could not come near. And then the Lord said that he made this on purpose. He did this on purpose, so they will have fear from of him, that they may fear him because they cannot come near him because of his holiness. Yeah, and this Ark of Tabernacle and Tabernacle of Testimony. And this is, yeah, the path in the old covenant for people to come into fellowship with the Lord. Yeah, and this whole tabernacle, the ark, everything had to be built according to the will of God. And I will not read these verses, but you can find them on the outline. In Exodus, there are several verses where the Lord says, yeah, be very sure to make it according to my will, how I told you to do it. And this is very important because this place had to be according to his likeness, according to his idea. Yeah. And this tabernacle of testimony was built by man, by his people. And God gave them his thoughts. And we can read this in Exodus 31. Exodus 31, 1 to 6. I want to mention these verses quickly.
Also, 2. Mose 31.
Exodus 31, the Lord says, starting at verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze. And then in the end, in verse 6, and I indeed I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishmahab of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. So the Lord wants to use us to bring forth his testimony, and this was can already be seen in the old covenant. And I think I've explained it or described it in a lot of words, and I could talk a lot more about that, but I want to go further and show you that this image in the Old Testament has his image in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. And this, and this tablets of testimony are today the word of God. But you can see in John 17, verse 17. And we said that his word is truth. And it reveals truth. And in whom is this, is this word of God? In Jesus Christ, we know. This word of God is, Jesus Christ. He is the reality of the Ark of Testimony. He is the one
dargestellt hat.
Who represents, yeah, the God's being on this earth. In one verse, in John 1, verse 14, about this, it is written, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 18 it says, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus came to, yeah, testify to people, to man, how God is. And he was completely one with the Word of God. And with that it is not enough. He also has, he's in something which is the church. And there's this verse in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. And 16. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and crown of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified. God was manifested. Here we can see the church today is the dwelling place of God. And here God reveals himself in flesh. The church today is the place where God reveals himself. He shows himself in the church. Yeah, Jesus Christ is manifested in the church today. This is what he wants. This is his testimony today in the new covenant. It's Christ and the church. It's the place where God today, yeah, wants to reveal himself to people. And I want to mention this quickly in all three verses which I mentioned, we can see it's about the truth. The Word is truth. Christ was full of grace and truth. And the church, yeah, is the pillar and crown of the truth. So, yeah, all these verses show that God wants to bring us back to truth, because Satan brought us to lies. He is the father of all lies, but God wants to bring us back to his truth, to the truth. Yeah, and I want to mention another verse which is not written in the outline, John 18, verse 37 and 38.
Da sagt Pilatus zu ihm, du bist also ein König?
Jesus there, yeah, 13,
ist, dass ich ein König bin.
37,
dass ich für die Wahrheit zeugen soll.
Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Yeah, it's very remarkable, these verses. Jesus says, I bear witness to the truth. He came, yeah, to bring truth to the people. And Pilate, most likely a very knowledgeable man, he asks him, what is truth? Yeah, and the world does not know the truth, because they're so full of lies.
And
Yeah, people today all think that, that everything is relative, that there is no truth, and many people, conduct themselves so with God. Is there even a truth? The one says like that, other one says like that. Even from the Bible, people read many different things. Oh Lord, but yeah, our God wants to reveal the truth newly, and He and this is also why we need the church, because it is the pillar and crown of truth, and this is also something we have to do. We have to read this word of truth. This is very important. So okay, I want to stop here with the presentation and change the video. We saw many things or several things about this testimony and how God revealed this to His people in the very beginning, that they should keep it, this testimony. And if I go a little further, then sadly the people of Israel did not keep this word very diligently, but already for a short while they did, but even already at the time of the judges they lost this word. And then it says in the end that everyone did what was righteous in their own mind and eyes. They did not realize that God had a will, that He has an expression. Everyone did what they thought was right, what was righteous in their eyes, even in their service for God. Yeah, if you read these verses, it is not very nice to read it, but it is very healthy. Yeah, and even in the New Covenant, it's Christ and Church. We do according to our own righteousness, according to our own ideas. Yeah, we always try to justify what we think is righteous, but this is not how God wants us to behave, and we need a different mindset. Yeah, and I want to read something about David, because this was a man who had another heart for God. We already read a verse in Acts 13, verse 32, verse 23, I'm sorry. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. It's 22, I'm sorry. And when He had removed him, He raised up from them David as king, to whom also He gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Yeah, and this is what God is longing for today, for people who do His will. Yeah, and this story of David in Arlen, we go through these verses, through the story, and I can really encourage you to read this, because there's a lot of truth and wisdom in there. And I want to go and read a little bit about how David experienced the Lord. And also, after a while, when David walked with God, he became this desire to look for the Ark of Testimony. And it was at some place, and it was described in Psalm 132 that they found it in the woods someplace and somewhere, but they brought it back. It is at the right place to Jerusalem. But here we can see something, because in the beginning, David did not ask the Lord, how shall this Ark of Testimony come to Jerusalem? And the first time when he wanted to bring it back to Jerusalem, he put it onto a very nice new card and thought this was good. And this was his earthly human way to do this. Yeah, and we as people who have a relationship with God, it might not be automatic, it might not be directly clear how God wants to behave in certain situations, what the path of God is. We have to ask God first. Otherwise, he might have the same experience as David had here. Yeah, he put the Ark of Testimony onto the cart, and he was dancing with all his might and was happy, but suddenly the oxes which were drawing the cart stumbled, and the Ark of Testimony was flipping, and this young man wanted to hold the Ark, but he died. Yeah, this young man died because he touched the Ark of Testimony. And then, yeah, David was really shook and realized he has to ask, and realized he did not know God in this way. But then we can see, and I want to read these verses, that he learned in 1 Chronicles. Yeah, when David once again wants to take the Ark of Testimony to Jerusalem. He says in 1 Chronicles 5, 1 Chronicles 15, verse 2, then David said, no one may carry the Ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the Ark of God and to minister before him forever. And then also, yeah, in verse, in another verse, yeah, but it is very clear that they did not ask God for his desire. They did not ask God, how should we conduct ourselves with this Ark of Testimony? And this is why God had to judge them. And then, when David wanted to take the Ark of Testimony first, he got frustrated because God judged them. But then he turned to the Lord and asked, how should I bring it? And he read in his word and saw that only the Levites were allowed to carry it. Yeah, if we turn to the Lord and give ourselves to the Lord, this is wonderful. But then we also have to ask, Lord, how do you want me to serve you? And then definitely it will also happen that we experience judgment, because the Lord has to judge things in us, because we sadly have this problem with the sin in us. But then let us not be discouraged, but let us take the situation and ask the Lord, how do you want to do it? And David, yeah, because God did not want to say to David when he judged him, don't touch the ark, let it be. He wanted to show him that he should search him and ask what his will is. Yeah, and this was also very important, because David should go further, not only take the Ark of Testimony to Jerusalem, but it was also God's desire that his house should be in Jerusalem. And later in 1 Chronicles 17, when it's about the house of God, it's very wonderful to see how David became a little bit more hesitant with his own ideas. And he was asking the Lord. And there I read in 1 Chronicles 17, the first verse. Now it came to pass, when David was dwelling in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains. This is interesting, that David was asking such a question. And this was also, yeah, a question we had. Why is David formulating this like that? He's just wondering, oh, I'm living in this nice house, but God is under a tent. Yeah. Yeah, he learned to be hesitant. And he's searching for fellowship with a man who also knows God, with Nathan, and asked him, should this be like that? And this is also how we should act, or how our heart should be. Lord, is this according to your will? Does this represent your testimony? Not just doing something and working, but in that searching and having fellowship. And as you can see, the first reaction of Nathan was just half good, not completely. And Nathan said, in verse 2, then Nathan said to David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, in verse 4, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. Yeah, in the beginning Nathan realized, oh yeah, this is a good plan. But he was also too fast with his answer. He says, oh, do everything which is in your heart. But then God steps in the night and tells Nathan, not David shall build this house. Even though this was a good, idea, even though God wanted this house, but it was not God's plan that David should build it, but his son should build it. And here we can see something very good. Because David David did not stop preparing anything for the house. He did not become frustrated. Yeah, he realized this is the will of God, that his son should build the house. And for the rest of his life, David put all his energy into that to plan this house. He created the plans. He prepared the priests. He bought all the material for his house. And this, I think, is wonderful. And we need this, heart desire, or this mindset. Yeah, if the Lord tells us to stop something or if something happens not as we plan, then we should ask the Lord, how can we work together with you that you get your testimony, that you get the church according to your will? And this is not, this is something I really want to learn from David. And then I want to go further, to come to the New Testament more. Daniel talks to the Lord in First Chronicles 17 still, verse 11. And it shall be, when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, and as I took it from him who was before you. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. This was verse 11, verse 14, to 14 in 1 Chronicles 17. And this word is a wonderful promise. It was, on the one hand, this promise for Solomon, who built this house, but much more it is this promise for Christ, that this Christ will be from the sons of David, that from the sons of David, descendants of David, descendant will come forth who builds the house of God. And there is also this promise that his kingdom will be forever. His throne shall be established forever. And we definitely can see it was not Solomon whose throne was forever, but it was Christ's throne. And very clear we can see that in the New Testament, in Luke 1, verse 32 to 33.
Er wird groß sein und Sohn des Allerhöchsten genannt werden, und Gott der Herr wird ihm den Thron seines Vaters David geben.
Luke 1:32-33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Here's a clear relationship to these verses in 1 Chronicles 17. That he will have this reign over the house of Jacob forever. Yeah, he is the true descendant of David who builds this house for God in which God wants to live forever. And here we can see clearly Christ came from the beginning with this plan to build this house. And another verse is in John, which reveals this to us. John chapter 2. This was when Jesus, in the beginning of his service, went to Jerusalem, to this temple which was standing there. What did you? He cleansed this temple. He removed everything which was not representative of this testimony, which was present there. Yeah, he showed that in his house, in the house of God, not everything is can prevail. Yeah, and the judgment of God starts at his house. And Jesus was so working to cleanse this temple. And then we can see in verse 17, then his disciples remember that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." For that, yeah, the Lord was burning for the seal of his house, for God's house. Yeah, and then, yeah, the disciples asked, "What is this, sign you show us?" And then Jesus answers them in verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise up." And verse 20, then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. This was in John 2. Yeah, here you can really see wonderfully that his real seal, his heart was not for this stone, house of stone, this temple of stone, but for the temple of his body. The temple which Jesus built up is his body, his church. This is his, his building. And here we can also see a nice parallel thing, that Jesus in his physical coming, when he came to Jerusalem, this was when, like David, he was preparing the material for this temple. And when he died and was resurrected, he started to build this house, like Solomon was building the house. This is also something we saw. David and Solomon, they are both a picture of Christ. And David was a picture, how Jesus came and lived as man on the earth. But Solomon is a picture of Christ, how he lives today with us and builds the house of God. And so we can see in all of Scripture this picture of this house is shown to us. And then I want to come once more to this point and want to strengthen it. In Matthew 16, where Peter gets this revelation that the Lord wants to build his church, and nothing shall prevail against it. And also Peter here has to make this experience that the Lord has to, correct him right after his revelation. And I think this is also very important for him, because the Lord does not only want his church, but he wants it according to his will. Yeah, it is very obvious when we read these verses that it's not like that, like it is taught among many Christians, that everything is the church and we have many churches. But the Bible is not talking about about maybe this Baptist church or this Methodistic church or this Chinese church or this church. This is not what the Lord shows us in his word. He's talking about one church at one location. The Bible speaks about that we are all made one. Yeah, in one church, and this shall be revealed at one location, in one church. This is what the Bible reveals. And it is not enough to say, "Oh, this is something which was step by step onto this way, and this is how God builds his church today. But no, not like that. Maybe we will call it church. But this is not the expression the Lord wants to have today. This will this expresses us men, but our ideas and plans, but not God's. And here we need to have fear. We have to come back to what the Lord wants and submit ourselves under his will. And then I also really like in this picture of the Ark of Testimony where God was judging, the Ark had to be carried by priests. And yeah, this means that the testimony of God has to be carried by many priests. Yeah, and this is also not very, it is not according to God's will that there's one priest and they are carrying the testimony of God, but no, he wants to have, yeah, many priests who carry the testimony. He wants us to carry his testimony together. And this is a responsibility for every one of us. We all should take part of this priesthood. This is according to his testimony and his path. I want to come to this point in Matthew 16. After Peter got this wonderful revelation from Christ and the church, Jesus had to show him right afterwards that it is not according to the path of man. We can see that in Matthew 16, starting at 21, where Jesus reveals that he has to suffer a lot and that he must be killed and raised on the third day. And then it says in verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." It is very astounding. such a sudden change of feelings. Yeah, Peter was wonderful. I am now a stone and I get this key of the kingdom of heaven. And yeah, he was very prideful or happy. But then Jesus quickly had to show him, you have to leave aside these things, your earthly human ideas, otherwise you cannot follow me. And I really want to say this to the young people here. And if we see in the church and look, the Lord often has to judge us. He has to judge us and has to judge human thinking. And we experienced in the last times that, if human things come into the church, the Lord has to judge. And if human things come into the church, it leads to separation. And some may think, they go further, but instead of building up the church, they separate, they destroy. Yeah, and then the Lord has to come and show this is our earthly, humanly thinking, and this is not how God builds. And here Peter really, in these verses, had to humble himself once again. And this is really also something important for us. Yeah, if the Lord judges, it does not mean, I cannot do anything anymore. I'm now suddenly Satan. First I was the stone for the building of the church, and now I'm Satan. Well, maybe, okay, then I should probably stop and not go further with the Lord. And this will be really a mistake. Yeah, and Peter also did that. He turned once again, and right in the next chapter, Jesus takes him onto the mountain and shows him much more of himself. This judgment is really necessary for our, for ourselves, for our preparation, so we can be according to his will, his church according to his will. And with that I want to end. In his letter, Peter really describes that in 1 Peter 4:17, he says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Yeah, the judgment starts at the house of God. This is really necessary for us. Yeah, it was a little bit longer today, but it was a hard burden on my heart. And please, let's have some fellowship.